House Democrats decided yesterday to kowtow to the anti-Semitic progressives in their party instead of actually condemning anti-Semitism in response to the, frankly, Jew-hating Ilhan Omar. They decided to water down the message and included everything under the sun. And it's deeply insulting to American Jews and our allies. To discuss this issue is my friend Elliot Hamilton. He's the former Daily Wire staff writer. He's also the former researcher for Americans for Peace and Tolerance, and he joins me now. Elliot, thank you so much for coming on.
It's good to be back, Jason. How have you been?
I've been doing good. I've been getting as angry as you have been over what we've seen coming from the Democratic Party in response to Ilhan Omar and her anti-Semitic comments. And I have to say, at the start of this, when I heard that the Democrats were going to put together this resolution, I gave them a lot of credit because, you know what, they were speaking out against a popular progressive member of their base, but then they decided to kowtow to her.
It's true, and I think it's rather unfortunate because this is the same party that around the time that individuals kept saying things like Blue Lives Matter and All Lives Matter, around the time that the Black Lives Matter movement started really coming up to full steam, that the Democratic Party and their allies yelled at these people because it was minimizing the issues that the Black Lives Matter movement really talked about with the criminal justice system. And here what we're seeing, ironically, is that the Democratic Party is more interested in talking about all bigotry is horrendous when the issue didn't even come to light until Ilhan Omar decided to project her anti-Semitism on a wide forum multiple times in the last couple of months.
So how badly do you think did the Democrats drop the ball yesterday? Is this something that we're going to forget about in a week, particularly American Jews who generally vote for Democrats?
I think that this has been a continuation of a theme that has been going on within the Democratic Party for several years now. I can recall back in 2014 when President Obama drew moral equivalencies between the State of Israel and the genocidal terrorist group Hamas, when Israel was defending itself against rockets and terror attacks from terror tunnels right around Gaza. And Obama kept trying to draw these moral equivalencies, almost saying that Israel does have a right to defend itself, but they're going too far in defending themselves. And that has been the modus operandi for how the progressive wing of the Democratic Party has been approaching this particular issue. So now all these years have come by and the Democratic Party hasn't put these progressive elements within their base in check, particularly when it comes to anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism and all of the like. And now it's becoming more normalized. And we're going to see this more so as long as this wing of the party continues to gain steam and steamroll over Nancy Pelosi.
And it's interesting because I don't think they would actually have the numbers to overcome an actual resolution put forward by the more mainstream Democrats in Congress, but they fear these younger folks, these younger millennial Congress people, because I guess they tweet a lot, and so I guess that means they have the backs of the American millennial.
I think that's about right as well, because you see people within our generation and the generation younger than us that the best way to reach out to people and get their ideas across is through social media. Trump did a very good job during the 2016 election, getting a lot of people's attention for using social media to project his ideas. So what you're seeing is this progressive wing of the party that has taken the Twitter bubble and has gone with it and gets a considerable following. A bunch of these Congress people have millions of followers. A lot of people like their stuff, and it gains traction, and it's very mm-hmm. different from how the older generation of Democrats who tend to be more pro-Israel tend to be less enthusiastic about the direction of the Democratic Party and toward the Democratic Socialist mantra. And you're seeing that power differential shifting in the favor of the young bloods as opposed to the old guard. And what we're seeing is the question with the Democratic Party is do we want to keep the base happy, and how do we define the base? And they're interpreting the base as this younger cohort that is falling in line with these nasty views.
Just joining me, Elliot Hamilton's on the line. He's a former staff writer for The Daily Wire and Americans for Peace and Tolerance researcher. What I find interesting about this progressive movement is they're able to justify their bigotry against Jews by basically saying we're not minorities, we're just white people with a lot of influence, which, of course, plays into a lot of stereotypes about Jews who have money and can buy influence, which is weird because yesterday we were not able to use our powers of hypnosis and our deep pockets to actually get a resolution with some teeth to it.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Democratic Party has had a hard time with minimizing these historical polemics against the Jewish people when it's repackaged in the 21st century. And as a result of all of that, that they're not recognizing that they're repeating a lot of the same old tropes that they have condemned when white supremacists and white nationalists have articulated them in the current framework of our time, as well as talking about historically when these white supremacists were historically discriminating against the Jewish people when most Jewish Americans today came to America from mm-hmm. Eastern Europe. And what we're seeing from all of this is just a failure of recognition that this is just newly tailored. It's the same polemics, it's the same chariot, but it's a different rider, and they're having a very, very difficult time addressing that.
I'm having a hard time figuring out whether or not people who aren't as in tune to the dog whistles, the anti-Semitic dog whistles, how they react to the pushback that progressives will say, which is, oh, so we're not allowed to criticize Israel. They're not, of course, criticizing Israel or policies. They're criticizing its very existence and Jews in particular. And I wonder how much of that sort of arguably nuance is actually being picked up by the general public.
I think that a lot of individuals tend to listen to the people that they would generally agree with and take their word for it. I think one of the challenges that we have today is that there isn't a lot of self-starting when it comes to looking into the history behind the Arab-Israeli conflict or understanding how historical trends have worked over time. And they tend to appeal to the authority of all these politicians and individuals and trusting their word for it. But in doing so, they don't sit down and kind of take a look at the words that are being said by these individuals. And if they were to take that time and to distinguish what they were saying, you would see that if it was just a mere criticism of policy, as in if Israel is doing something that is not beneficial to their particular interests, then that's one thing. But there's a big distinction between criticizing Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, versus going out and talking about Jewish influence and Jewish money, and that the only reason allude that the only reason that American politicians and Americans generally support Israel is because of Jewish money. There's a big, big difference between the two of those, and there's just a lot of people are being disingenuous when it comes to distinguishing those two things.
So where do we go from here? Because it's one thing to say, as conservatives who also are Jewish, that we're upset and we don't like the direction of the Democratic Party. We generally have no influence in a meaningful way as to policy prescriptions or resolutions coming from the Democratic Party. So what's the takeaway from what we've experienced this week?
Ultimately, the problem here is that the Democrats are not going to listen to conservatives when we point out the anti-Semitism. You can hear Mitch McConnell condemn it right on the Senate floor, and you can hear President Trump talk about how the Democratic Party is going this particular direction. But the real challenge here is to get Jewish liberals who are in the Democratic Party to fix it, to speak out against it more so. I think the problem that we're seeing here is that very few of these Democratic liberals within the Jewish community are taking their voices to the highest points and condemning this at the highest order. And maybe it's out of fear of backlash, and maybe, and I don't know what it is, but this is an issue that has to be addressed within their own ranks. And if they don't wish to do so, then there has to be a real consideration as to what American Jews really need to do. And quite honestly, I think that it would necessitate the mass of the Jewish community leaving the party that had historically defended them in the past, but have no interest in doing so today.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't use this as an opportunity, and I know you don't as well, to say, hey, American Jew who right now votes Democrats, come to the Republican side. I don't care at the end of the day who you end up voting for. Just make sure you know that if you're going to identify with a party, the party that is currently getting a large portion of American Jewish support is the party that yesterday declined to stand up against anti-Semitism. It's disgusting. We've been joined today by Elliot Hamilton. He's a former Daily Wire staff writer. Thank you so much for stopping by, Elliot. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Absolutely.